Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Swati, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the NIIT Limited's earnings call. Mr. Vijay Thadani, NIIT Limited's Chief Executive Officer, is your call leader today. For the duration of the presentation, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. After the presentation, the question and answer session will be conducted for the international participants connected to Airtel International Center. After that, a similar question and answer session will be conducted for the participants in India. Now, I hand over to Mr. Vijay Thadani of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. This is indeed Vijay Thadani, but I think there is a small mistake which the moderator made, operator made. This call is of NIIT Technologies Limited, and this will be, and NIIT Limited will be following this after about 45 minutes. So this one is for NIIT Technologies Limited, and this will be led by Arvind Thakur, who is the CEO of NIIT Technologies Limited.
Thank you, Vijay, and good evening to all of you on the call. Welcome to the conference call for NIIT Technologies Limited. I'm pleased to share with you the quarterly results for the second quarter of the financial year 2004-05. Highlights of the results are that our profit after tax is at 15.2 crores, which is up 50% year on year. Consolidated revenues for NIIT Technologies for quarter two is at 137 crores, representing a 7% quarter-on-quarter growth and a 14% growth over the same period last year. NIIT Technologies has two segments, the IT solution segment, which contributed to 129 crores, and the other segment is the BPO operation, which had revenues of 7.9 crores, and this represents 6% of the total revenues of NIIT Technologies. NIIT Technologies is a mid-sized software organization sharply focused on three industry verticals, financial services, transportation, and retail, and revenues from these focused verticals improved marginally from 810 million to 822 million during the quarter. Proportion of offshore revenues remained steady at 42% as compared to last quarter, and also the share of our top five clients also remained steady at 36% as compared to the last quarter. Operating profits after taking care of all overheads for quarter two was at 244 million, representing again a quarter-on-quarter growth of 7%. Operating margins remained steady at 18%. Operating margins were 18% also in the last quarter. Capacity utilization improved marginally from 77% in the last quarter to 78% in this quarter. Offshore bill rates remained steady over this period. We added six new international customers during the quarter. Order intake was $38 million, leading to a pending order book of $141 million at the end of the quarter, $64 million of which is executable over the next 12 months. During the quarter, we added 109 people, leading to a total strength of 2,668. 22% of the direct staff are engaged in on-site activities, and 78% are engaged in offshore activities. Some balance sheet numbers on receivables. Total outstanding receivables at the end of the quarter were rupees 1,159 million, equivalent of 78 days of sales outstanding, which is an improvement over last quarter, where receivable DSO stood at 84 days. Cash and bank balance also have improved substantially during the quarter, stands at 1,031 million rupees compared to 920 million rupees in the last quarter. So with this brief introduction and background, I would like to open the call for specific questions, which I would be happy to answer. Operator, can you open the call for questions, please?
Sure, sir. I now hand over the proceedings to Farida at Airtel International Center to conduct the question and answer session for the international participants. After this, we will have a question and answer session for the participants in India. Over to you, Farida.
Thank you, Swati. At this time, international participants may press 01 if they would like to ask a question. On pressing 01, participants will get a chance to present their question on a first in-line basis. International participants who wish to ask question may please press 01. Please press 01 now. At this moment, there are no further questions from participants outside India. I would like to hand over the proceeding back to Swati.
Thank you very much, Farida. We will now begin the question and answer interactive session for the Indian participants connected to audio conference service from Airtel. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1 on their touchtone enabled telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first in line basis. To ask a question, please press star 1 now. The first question comes from Mr. Ashish Agarwal from INFS Mumbai. Mr. Agarwal, you may ask your question now.
Yeah, my first question is, your tax rate has gone down. Could you give me what's the reason for that?
In quarter one, I think we had taken a conservative additional provision for taxes.
Okay. And second question, your BPO is not making money. So could you give me some sense till when do you think it will break even?
Okay, you would have seen an improvement in our BPO revenues over the last quarter.
Yeah.
In fact, in the last quarter, we had a slight decline in revenues as compared to the previous quarter. And if I look at our BPO revenues, there is a 10% quarter-on-quarter growth between the last quarter and this quarter. And so we are back on a recovery, whereas if you looked at the previous quarter, we had a negative growth of 18% because some of our customers in that quarter had pulled back some business. The growth is likely to be substantial in the subsequent quarter, primarily because of the number of customers that we have added. We now have 16 customers, of which there are 6 which are doing pilots with us. And as you know, pilots are what lead to substantial expansion in business in the BPO space. So therefore, our anticipation is that a BPO operation should break even at an operating margin level in this quarter, and if not in this quarter, certainly in the next quarter.
Okay. Another thing, just one data point, what's your CAPEX plan going forward?
We have planned for 40 crores of capital expenditure during the year, of which we have consumed 9 crores in the first 6 months.
Another thing, what's the breakup of your fixed price and time and material?
We have 51% of our revenues coming in from fixed price projects.
Okay.
49% is from time and material.
Yeah, thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Amit from ILNFS Mumbai. Mr. Amit, you may ask your question now.
Yeah, thank you very much. Arvind, just to take a look at the way we have gone through the entire process, now we are almost two quarters down the overall process and revenues are coming in at a steady state. I was just wondering, looking at it from a slightly, a medium-term perspective, what we probably need to accelerate is the new client additions or acquire new clients or acquire a certain niche to gain size, because most of the other peer groups have grown much faster on a larger size. So I was just wondering, any thoughts on that? Are we looking at acquiring something or acquiring new clients through some route, maybe an acquisition through some other means? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, okay, Amit, you're absolutely right. As I was sharing earlier, we are a mid-sized organization, certainly not in the same league as the scale players in this game. And so our approach to the market is really to focus and differentiate. And in order to do that, we have basically started focusing on a few industry verticals where we are building strong capability. Now, in each one of these areas, for example, financial services, we have seen revenue growth. We've seen revenue growth in retail, which is the other focus area. In transportation, in fact, we've been getting the large engagements. Last quarter, we announced 20 million order intake with one client. This quarter, again, we have another repeat business in excess of 10 million. And so we're beginning to see scale in the areas that we are focusing on. So one approach really is to continue to systematically build strong capability and differentiate in these specific domains. At the same time, we are active in pursuing inorganic approaches to scale our business. We do recognize the importance of scaling and scaling rapidly. And as you know, inorganic activities are activities which have their own time frame. But it's certainly an element that is part of our plan in growing this business.
Okay. One final question, Arvind. Could you give us a sense of the kind of work that we are doing currently on BPO clients? What kind of engagements are we currently dealing with? And how does that split into voice and non-voice?
Okay, we are doing both voice and non-voice. And at this point of time, we have 16 customers across the US and UK. We have about 18 processes which are running. Six pilots of these 18 are six pilots which are likely to scale up into full-blown processes as well. In terms of voice, we have 51% of our revenues coming from voice and the balance is non-voice. So it's almost equal in terms of revenue generation from voice and non-voice.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Bhattacharya from UBS Bombay. Mr. Bhattacharya, you may ask your question now.
Good evening, gentlemen. My question is, first of all, if I look through your geographical split, I find that most of the growth has predominantly come from India. What exactly is this? Could you explain, please?
Okay, India is an important market for us. And in fact, we are quite significantly focused in the government sector in this space, offering complete system integration solutions, both end-to-end as well as solutions of a specialized kind in the area of geographical information systems. And in fact, we have a separate subsidiary dedicated to this activity, which is a joint venture with ESRI, which has the world-leading technology in this space. So these are revenues which are emerging from these activities.
I see. And if I look at your US and Europe, really they have not grown to the extent that one would have thought. Why, I mean, and the growth, if you look at in the US, has been coming down from, let's say, 11% to 3% to 1% over the last three quarters. I mean, over the last three quarters, that data that we have. Is there anything that we have, is it the proximity to the US elections got to do with it? How do you explain this? Or similarly for Europe, please.
Okay. You know, part of this is happening because of the change we have done in our accounting policy. You will recollect, I'd explained this in the last call.
Right.
That, you know, earlier we used to bill on a milestone basis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now we do on a percentage completion method. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, some adjustments which are happening as a result of this, which is bringing about these changes. The other is that the intake, you know, that we are getting in the organization are predominantly annuity-based and longer-term contracts, which initially take time to ramp up, but then they ramp up significantly towards the, you know, later half of the year. So some of these things are contributing to this, but it's not a cause for concern simply because we are seeing, you know, significant order intake in both these geographies.
I see. And just like, you know, because as you say that India is a significant focus, if you look at your margins right now, it's standing at about 20% odd. I'm talking about EBITDA margins in the software business, obviously. where do you think this could go about 1 year, 1 year from now?
That's a good question. In fact, we are pleased to maintain our margins, you know, at these levels, in spite of the fact that we actually had a salary increase. You know, in July.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are likely to experience that pressure once again in the month of January. And so what I would like to say is it will be good if we can maintain these operating margins for the rest of the year.
What was the quantum of the salary increase that you gave? I mean, is it on-site and offshore both? Or just
no, it was only offshore.
Okay, and what was the quantum of the increase?
Actually, it varied from 5 to 15% depending upon the levels in the organization.
I see. And what about on-site? Do you think that you will have to give a salary hike on-site as well?
There would be the normal hike on-site, but normally hikes on-site are not as significant as hikes offshore.
Okay. My last question is on the revenue outlook on the software side. This time the growth has been 7%. As you said that there are quite a few annuity projects which will scale up later. Are we looking at a significantly higher run rate in the coming quarters or is it going to be at similar rates?
Yeah, actually, we'll be looking at growing at the same rate. We'd like to see our business grow quarter on quarter at least at 7%. So that is what we'll be striving for.
Mm-hmm. I see. Thanks a lot and best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Dipan from Kotak, Mumbai. Mr. Dipan, you may ask your question now.
Yeah, good evening. I also had a couple of questions, mostly on the lines of the previous speaker. One is relating to the revenue growth. As the previous speaker pointed out, it is about 7%, whereas you have indicated that you are looking at faster growth rates. You indicated that you are having certain strategies which should lead to faster growth rates. But when I see the employee addition which the company has made, about 120 odd employees on a base of 2,500, which is about 5 to 6%. That does not signify that you are looking at pretty high growth rates in the future, because if you have some sort of visibility, you would obviously be adding a lot more employees. So any thoughts on this?
Well, as you will notice that our capacity utilization is perhaps one of the better utilizations in the industry.
Yes.
At 78%.
Yeah.
And so we've been kind of prudent in recruiting rather than, you know, recruiting to a pool, which is one of the reasons why you're not seeing these additions, because we've been really utilizing capacity. But I think as we go forward, you will probably see more additions in the subsequent quarters.
Okay. And the other thing is that despite this salary hike in the quarter, you were able to maintain margins at the same levels. Can you just explain like what measures help in maintaining the margins?
I think the most significant was the productivity improvement as well as the capacity utilization. These are the two factors that really contributed to improved margins.
How are the SG&A, I'm sorry you don't have the figures, but how are the SG&A expenses a percentage of revenues when you compare it with the previous quarter?
We don't have the breakup of SG&A separately.
Okay.
But if you look at the expenses, you know, they've really gone the same way as our revenues.
Right, I think these are a couple of questions. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Ashish Agarwal from ILNFS Mumbai. Mr. Agarwal, you may ask your question now.
Yeah, just one data point again. Could you give me some breakup of employees in Software Solutions and BPO?
Yes, just hold on a second. 638 people are engaged in BPO activities.
Okay.
And the balance are in software activity.
And how much have you added in software?
Beg your pardon?
How much have you added in software this quarter?
Do you have the breakup software additions?
Fifty-three. Yeah. Thanks.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1. The next question comes from Mr. Bhattacharya from UBS Mumbai. Mr. Bhattacharya, you may ask your question now.
Hi, just one housekeeping question. If you could share with us, what is the change in net working capital that happened this quarter over that of the previous one on the software side of the business? Is it available? I mean, okay, if you could give me the current assets and liability heads, I can calculate it myself.
Okay, you can just hold on.
So let's say current assets, X of cash and current liabilities for both the quarters.
Okay, current assets for the current quarter, for the quarter two, is 2,743 million.
Uh-huh.
And total current liabilities are 871 million.
I see. And if you could give the same numbers for Q1, please.
Q1, current assets are 2,746.
Mm-hmm.
And liabilities are 1,102 million.
I see. And the cash is 1,031 million this quarter versus 920 previous one.
Yeah. That is right.
Okay. And one last bit is, how much was the CapEx in this quarter?
CapEx in this quarter is 41 million.
Okay, and so previous one is roughly higher than that, total adding
to
9 crores.
49 million.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Dipan from Kotak, Mumbai. Mr. Dipan, you may ask your question now.
Oh, yeah, just one more question from me. It's regarding the other income. Like, can we have a breakup of the other income, which was about 3 crores in the last quarter and 2.8 crores this quarter?
Okay, let me just try to pull that out for you.
Hello.
So total, how are they? 28. Okay, total income is 28.7 million.
Yeah.
Last quarter was 31.3 million.
Yeah.
And what else were you looking for?
No, the breakup of this, like, is this any forex gain which is included here, or is totally interest income, any one-time revenues in this, or any the breakup of this 2.8 crore rupees?
Yeah, it's partially on account of difference in foreign exchange,
yeah, how much
and also
that?
On interest on loans and deposits.
roughly how
60%
much
would be on account of difference in exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And the balance is interest of loans, deposits, and income and other things.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants who wish to ask questions, may please press star 1. The next question comes from Mr. Manoj from Mumbai. Mr. Manoj, you may ask your question now.
Hi, good evening, sir. This is Manoj from JP Morgan. I don't know if this been asked earlier because I dialed in a little bit late. Just in terms of going forward, this quarter we had a decent sequential growth. What is the kind of growth we are looking at? And I think as someone asked earlier, a lot of this growth was contributed from the India side. So going forward, what do we see on the international side?
Yeah, I think I had answered that question earlier. In fact, we are looking at maintaining the same quarter-on-quarter growth. And usually, you know, March and September are quarters in which you have significant business in India. And so that is the variation that you're likely to see in terms of proportion of business from India and the international geographies in the respective quarters.
Okay, because I think just following up, if you look at international business, we haven't seen too much growth here. So what gives you confidence that the growth here will pick up?
It's the intake, which is, as you can see, been steady, and the opening order book has been increasing steadily, quarter on quarter.
Sure, and this order book that you have right now of $141 million, over what time period is this order book around?
See, out of this, $64 million would be executable over the next 12 months.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants who wish to ask questions, may please press star 1. At this moment, there are no further questions from participants. I would now hand over the floor to Mr. Arvind Thakur for the final remarks. After that, we will have Mr. Vijay Thadani from NIIT Limited online, who will be giving the presentation. Over to you, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your participating in this call and asking these questions, insightful questions, and sharing your views and thoughts. I think at this stage, I'd like to hand over the session to Vijay to discuss the NIIT Technology, NIIT Limited results.
Good evening, this is Vijay Thadani. And the NIIT Technologies Limited call just got over, and we are just using the same telephone line to make the second call, which is NIIT Limited. I would like to give you a quick overview of the activities in the last quarter. I think the first some housekeeping corporate governance issues relating to relisting and relisting of NIIT as well as listing of NIIT Technologies. In our last discussion, they were at that point of time on record dates. Since then, on 16th August, NIIT Limited got relisted and NIIT Technologies got listed, which is news to you, which is not news to you, on August 30th. But I just thought to mention that because that completes the demerger process, which took, if all this period was to be added, a good 10-month period. But that's an exercise which is completed, so just to put a completion to it. Now let's talk about NIIT Limited's results for the second quarter. As usual, I will first talk a little bit about the industry environment that we experienced, from then get on to some numbers and go into some operating metrics, and then we can have a question answer. So first, the industry environment. I think the last quarter which we had, which is traditionally a good quarter for the learning business, was in line with our thinking and in line with what we had anticipated in terms of the sentiment in the market and what was happening. I'll first talk about India, where I think the predominant business that we were engaged in is the India individual business on one side and India institutional on the other. So we noticed that the sentiment for IT careers is making a cautious return. There has been a much better acceptance of IT careers and anticipation for IT careers in the metros, which is obviously led by the increased job requirements and recruitments which the IT outsourcing firms, software outsourcing firms and BPO firms are doing. And the second, the fact that in the remoter centers, remote centers which are far from metros, that effect is at a lag, which is what we have experienced in the past as well. I think one of the most interesting indicators of this additional interest was the fact that NIT conducted an IT aptitude test, a national IT aptitude test, which is a test conducted for the first time in the country. There is an aptitude test for nearly every discipline, medicine, engineering, management, but there was none for IT, and I think naturally NIT had the responsibility to do that, and NIT did that. The response to that was extremely encouraging. We had 65,746 people appear for this exam, which was conducted at a very short notice, about 3 weeks' notice, in the month of September. And this is also the time when people have already taken their admissions in colleges and stuff like that. But 65,746 is nearly half of the number of people who take the IIT exam every year. So that tells you the interest which is building up in IT careers. But that interest to get converted into registration and the quality of registrations that we are looking for is what I will talk about when we talk about the results. The second thing was there was a definitive pull from employers for quality people. And the word quality people is underlined because people are looking for, employers are looking for people whom they can get functionally operating very, very quickly. And that was one of the definitive pull we saw from employers. 35% increase in hirings in the last 12 months is one of the statistics DataQuest came up with, and primarily the increased hirings are at entry level, which is basically the kind of crowd that NIIT and other entry level institutions come up with. Added to that, the rising salary levels and attrition rates talk about the impending demand. But I must say there is a stronger pull from the employer's market, employer side, then there is an acceptance of the same from the student side. But I think that always takes a while to build momentum, and we saw the building of that momentum in the last quarter. In China, the second geography that I would like to talk about, the interesting development is that IT education is becoming a part of the mainline university education, and NIT is playing a role in that, and I'll talk about that. So that was an important thing. IDC has also predicted a very healthy growth for China in years to come, which I'll talk about when I talk about the future. And the fact that China is very actively looking at higher-end skills in software project management and software engineering, software architecture, and that was another thing which we noticed. On the global scale, mostly in the developed world, which is US and Europe, there was a slower growth in IT training, though slightly better than what it was last year. And IDC has predicted a slow growth now, but it will pick up momentum in 2-3 years' time. There is a definite potential for outsourcing of learning and training, and that's driven by two drivers, cost reduction and global rollouts as organizations spread their wings across the world. And the last thing was that the corporate spending on e-learning was increasing, and technology-based learning was on an increase, and we saw the benefit of that in our international business. In India, very specifically, there are two important statistics which I would like to talk about. First, as far as the IT training market is concerned, DataQuest came out with the July end issue, came up with the numbers for IT industry. And in fact, there has been a small degrowth in IT training. But I think it's more coming out of the restructuring of the industry and in terms of formal and non-formal getting mixed up, and DataQuest only taking non-formal as the only number. But it has degrown the private IT training industry. The other interesting statistic in that same issue was the improvement in market share of NIIT. NIIT in that issue is now slated as 2.2 times its nearest competitor. We must realize that our nearest competitor were number two and number three of a couple of years earlier and were together much larger than NIIT. But in this particular April 03 to March 04, NIIT has indeed stolen a lead in terms of market share and a fairly strong lead. So those were some things which we noticed in the industry environment. I'll get down to the highlights of the results. The details have been available on the website as well as press release. So with that we'll handle in the questions. The most important thing is the 6 months net profit of 227 million is surpasses last 12 month fiscal profits of 189 million. So in 6 months we are nearly 30% more than what we were in the full 12 months. The quarterly net profit is at 118 million, which is versus a 67 million loss in the same period last year. And it's also increased beyond 109 million, which we experienced last quarter. This resulted in higher earnings per share at 6.11 this quarter, rupees 6.11. This is backed by a system-wide revenue increase of 10% year-on-year and 22% quarter-on-quarter. This was to be expected in July, August, September is typically our peak period, and I think 10% year-on-year basically talks about the strength of the IT training market as it is coming back and NIIT's strong position which is emerging day by day. The operating efficiencies were visible in the operating margin and operating profit. Operating profit has grown 233% year-on-year at 140 million with operating margin at about 13%, which is an improvement of more than 800 basis points over the same period last year. In terms of earnings per share, I already mentioned, it's at 6.1 rupees per share this quarter compared to 5.6, and cumulatively, therefore, in the 6 months, we have had an earnings per share of 11.7. Talking a little bit about balance sheet, we have had a significant improvement in debtors' position. It has reduced from 122 days of sales to, at a higher sales value, at 97 days of sales. We had an asset addition of just 28 million this quarter. And our return on average capital employed has improved to 17.8% annualized compared to 17.4% that we had last year. Getting to some operational metrics, our geography-wise revenue mix was nearly 50%, 51% actually towards international and 49%, which is a small improvement over last quarter. Last quarter it was 53-47. This was to be expected because this is normally the best quarter for the Indian business. And we had a 23% year-on-year revenue growth as far as India is concerned. In China, which is the in international, I think China was the major growth area this quarter. And the reason was a very important exercise which we commenced about 6 months ago, a business model which we call the NIIT Inside, where NIIT becomes embedded inside a university curriculum. And we launched this very aggressively in one of the provinces in China, which resulted in fairly large size revenue in this quarter, given China's size of revenue. So that contributed to a kicker as far as the China revenues were concerned. The overall segmental analysis, international revenues were 51%, and I think they showed a growth of 18% quarter on quarter. Addition of four new clients, including one from higher ed segment, and an end of quarter order book of nearly $19 million, $18.96 million. In India individual, the second largest, it depicted a 31% quarter-on-quarter and 14% year-on-year growth, I'll go into a little bit more detail about that. India institutional had a 24% quarter-on-quarter and 30% year-on-year growth. with a fresh order intake, which was also very healthy, of about 428 million rupees, another state school school's order from another state, which contributed to a very healthy order book as we go forward. In terms of segmental profitability, as you can see, India individual is coming back, but is not yet profitable in this quarter. India institutional and international have been contributing to most of the operating profits, but the situation is improving in each one of the areas. I had mentioned in the last call that India institutional operating profit in the last quarter was high because of a bullet revenue recording, and it would stabilize at a lower level, which it is in the current quarter. In terms of our reach, the number of centers are at 3,783. We added 35 net centers in the institutional area, and in the individual areas, in fact, we did some consolidation. We combined some centers, and we have increased the size of some other centers. So in terms of number of centers, it's at a lower number, 773. International centers remain at the same. In China, the push is on NIIT Inside model, which is inside the university campuses, and therefore that wouldn't be visible in the number of centers. In India individual, futures, our flagship product, grew 44% quarter-on-quarter in revenue terms, and registrations improved 24% quarter-on-quarter. In CATS as well, we had an 8% improvement sequentially in registrations and 26% in revenues, which also meant, talks about the fact that we got a better realization than we get used to get in the past. And better realization is a multiple of the fee per hour of instruction multiplied by the duration for which the student attends the course. So that average realization improved very significantly, both quarter on quarter as well as year on year. SWIFT, the portal, we are that portal is becoming less and less relevant in the overall scene of scheme of things, because of the fact that much of that is now being done within a school and college as a part of normal curriculum. But at the same time, there is an overall literacy segment, which is a big net which we spread to increase the size of market that we can address going forward. In terms of order book, we were at we have an order book of 2,186 million, which is 218.6 crores in the India institutional, and in international we have a closing order book of $18.96 million, as I mentioned. In terms of overall headcount, we added 66 people net during the quarter, most of them in the India individual segment in India, given the fact that we launched some new education centers which were company owned. The total strength at quarter end was 1,729. That would complete the coverage. The shareholding pattern, there has been a small change. There have been FIIs and the promoters' holdings have increased a little bit during the quarter. Talking about future outlook, we see that the increased hiring, which I think in every single result of IT services industry has talked about an increased hiring in the times to come, and the quality of that hiring also points to one more aspect, which is for more and more focused skilled manpower with focused skills, so that people can use them on projects straight away. In fact, in the last quarter, in the last 6 months, we have added nearly double the number of engineers that we have trained in our GNIIT curriculum, which is an indicator of the fact as to the need for finishing school skills even after engineering, and we see that as a big market going forward, which we are focusing on. The second thing which we are focusing on is a very specific skill set which we would train our people for in the final semester based on the large requirements of large IT majors. And we finished three such assignments in last quarter, and our employers are very happy with the end result. So we see that as a very interesting opportunity going forward. In the international area, I think e-learning in the corporate space in US, the growth of IT manpower in China and development of IT manpower in China, and the embedding of IT education in university education are opportunities that we see forward. Next quarter is a low in terms of seasonality, is traditionally a quarter which is our lowest quarter in the 12-month period, and therefore our revenues will go down in comparison to this quarter. However, maintaining the growth rate on a year-on-year basis at the current levels of 10%, and which is in line with our projections, is what we intend to do. And therefore, over the 12-month period, we also see that the operating margin will be at 10%, as we had talked about in the last call as well, after the correction that we made. And so 10% overall revenue growth and 10% operating margin for the 12-month period is what we had projected for this fiscal, which is what we will be on track for. Currently, our operating margin is better than 10%, but we must remember that the next two quarters are typically lower in revenue size, and therefore, to that extent, there will be an impact on the operating margin. With that, I would like to open this for question and answers, and joining me for the Q&A is P. Rajendran, the Chief Operating Officer, as well as R.S. Pawar, Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. I now hand over the proceedings to Farida at Airtel International Center to conduct the question and answer session for the international participants. After this, we will have a question and answer session for the participants in India. Over to you, Farida.
Thank you, Swati. At this time, international participants may press 01 if they'd like to ask a question. On pressing 01, participants will get a chance to present their question on a first in-line basis. International participants who wish to ask a question may please press 01. Please press 01 now. At this moment, there are no further questions from participants outside India. I would like to hand over the proceeding back to Swati.
Thank you very much, Farida. We will now begin the question and answer interactive session for the Indian participants connected to audio conference service from Airtel. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1 on their touchtone-enabled telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first-in-line basis. To ask a question, please press star 1 now. The first question comes from Mr. Bhattacharya from UBS Mumbai. Mr. Bhattacharya, you may ask your question now.
Thanks. Good evening. The first question is, if you look at from the training side of the business, if you look at the output where it is headed in terms of the buyers of or rather people where they joined post NIH training, how would you put the percentage mix as how much of this goes now to the software companies and between end user corporates, etc.? Could you give us a split?
Yeah, I wouldn't have the exact split, but I can give you qualitatively.
Sure.
Nearly two-thirds of the end output of NIIT goes to the IT services industry, mm-hmm. IT and BPO services industry, and about one-third goes to user organizations.
Okay. And
IT services, I would include captives as well as those who are doing outsourcing.
Sure. And is it possible to say how much of it goes to IT services companies, everything included, captives, etc., excluding the BPO, that is?
Well, a large percentage would be to IT.
I see. The second question is, I mean, as you rightly
point... BPO has their own, and they do a lot of corporate training as well.
Right. As you rightly pointed out, the volume growth for the industry seems to be pretty high. how do you see the, like, you know, the supply demand scenario, or what kind of salaries are the output which goes into the IT services companies getting right now, as opposed to, let's say, a year back?
Okay, I would say that about on an average there is a 15% to 20% increase in salary levels, more like 20, less like 15, but it varies because averaging can give you any number depending on what numbers you average. But we are seeing an average increase. I think the what the organizations are willing to pay a premium for is specific skill set that they want. I had mentioned this last quarter also.
Sure.
One of the exercises which we did in the previous 6 months mm-hmm. was a survey with the industry of what specific skills that they require and what kind of people would they like to employ. And the feedback we got was, it is not a particular skill set, but in a particular quarter, based on a particular project that they have or they're gearing up for, they have very clear requirements of the mix, the skill mix which is required. Now, the formal sector cannot adapt to that requirement. I mean, if they say, I want this guy to have so much depth in SQL Server, but so much more in DB2, then you may either have DB2 or you may have SQL Server, you may not have both in any course. So what they want is a specific skill set, what we call, people like to choose their own topping of the pizza. So what we do is make sure that in the fourth semester, we customize the fourth semester to meet that particular employer's needs. And we did three pilots. We designed our whole curriculum around that, and the first output of that, which was the people who were doing the earlier curriculum, we customized their last semester and fulfilled the requirements of one of the largest IT services companies, amongst the tier one companies, and we met that requirement in 30 days' time, and it's a number which they were not expecting to be fulfilled in that time in by their own recruitment mechanisms.
Sure.
So that is becoming, getting specific skills, and once they get specific skills, they're willing to pay a premium in salary for that.
Sure. But looking at the volume growth of roughly about 50% per annum, and I'm sure they will need people at the entry level or with skill set, why shouldn't the growth rate for the full year be higher or closer to about 20% at least for the training side of the business rather than being 10%?
Yeah.
Because this year right now...
I think there are three components to that. There is an institutional component, there is an international component, and there is the individual component.
Right.
If you notice, this year, in the individual component, our growth has been higher.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I must tell you is that the market does not, market in this case, the consumer, is not so well connected to the organization's requirements. And therefore, it takes a while for us to move the consumer momentum, to get the momentum of the consumer go. And that's the reason for activities like the National IT Aptitude Test, okay, which rekindles the people's interest in IT careers. The problem is not to get volumes. The problem is to get the right quality volume. And I think that's the focus we have had in our last two quarters enrollments. We do see that there is an acceleration. We do see there is an acceleration, and we feel that momentum will improve.
Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Dipan from Kotak, Mumbai. Mr. Dipan, you may ask your question now.
Okay, yeah, this is, as you will explain the revenue side, obviously. Just wanted to get some feel on the margin side. You said that the margins for the full year could stabilize at around 10% levels. Obviously, that's mainly because the revenues will go down over the next couple of quarters.
Yes.
But just wanted to know on a more strategic basis, like, are there any more avenues left for the company to cut down on the fixed cost, or are there any other avenues to cut down more cost, or will the margins move in line with the revenue growth, and whenever the revenue growth dips, we can see further dips in margins?
Okay. There is an operating leverage available. As you know, we have a fixed cost structure and a variable cost structure.
Correct.
So, therefore, margins will typically be out of line with the revenue growth, which means if the revenue slows down, the impact on margin will be higher.
Mm-hmm.
If the revenue picks up, the benefit to the margin will also be higher. correct?
Yeah.
Now, we do see there are areas in which our fixed cost structure can be further reduced, but I think there are a number of basic customer consumer education and marketing activities which need to be undertaken to increase the interest. Actually, the industry is clamoring right now to say get more 70 to 90%ers to apply for IT careers for places other than those who got through the star engineering colleges.
Mm-hmm.
See, the interesting thing which is happening is people who get 85% and above,
mm-hmm.
who get admissions in, let's say, tier 1 engineering colleges,
mm-hmm.
those people anyway get lapped up by the industry and we do finishing school for them.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is the in-between crowd which I like to take other career opportunities which are now many more career opportunities are available, whether banking, insurance and so many other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore they do not take up IT careers. And then the next lot which takes up IT careers is people who did not make it to those engineering colleges, tier 1. They go to the tier 1 and 2. They go to the tier 3 and 4, where a large number of people are taking on engineering education but are not coming out with skills which the industry requires. That's where we see our major role right now, because people also want engineering degrees, but they also want the right skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the successes we have had this quarter, last two quarters, is offering that, a GNIIT, to an engineer and creating a combination which is truly a same or better combination as a computer science, a guy who had done BTech computer science. So those are indicators of the future.
Okay. And the other very housekeeping question, like the tax rate for this year has been about, this quarter has been about 4%, 5% for the first half. I believe that the tax rate should remain at around these levels because of the accumulated losses?
We have tax assets available, but we, as a rule, we do not take the benefit of that, as we mentioned about three quarters ago. Since last October, we have not been taking the benefit of deferred tax assets.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have tax losses available in the balance sheet.
Okay. And the other income component, do you expect any significant variation in that, or should remain at around these particular levels of 2.8 to 3 crores?
It may reduce going forward. It will reduce going forward.
What could be the reasons for that?
Well, exchange rate is one issue which contributes to other income.
Okay.
The second thing is interest on deposits and mutual funds and, you know, what we do with the spare cash.
Okay, okay.
So as we go forward, as our investment increases, right,
mm-hmm.
we do see that that other income component will come down.
Okay. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1. I repeat, participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1. At this moment, there are no further questions from participants. I would now hand over the floor back to Mr. Vijay Thadani for the final remarks.
Well, thank you very much, all of you. I know it's been a long call, given you have to attend two companies' calls. So thank you very much for being here with us. And as usual, we always get a lot of insights from the questions you ask. I'm sure there will be more questions you will have, but please do not hesitate to address them to Nidhi Agarwal, Sanjay Mal, or myself, and we'll be very happy to answer them for you. Thanks once again for your cooperation as well as your patience in being on this call. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the earnings call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for connecting to audio conference service from Airtel and have a nice evening.